Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday, so all this hour we'll be highlighting some of New York's beloved small establishments. And if you want to send us a small business shout out on Instagram, you can send us a DM or tag us in your stories and tag that small business in your stories, and we'll repost it in our stories. Our Insta handle is at allofitwnyc. Up first, a New York institution. Russ and Daughters was opened in 1914 by Joel Russ, a Polish immigrant who started out selling herring from a push cart on the Lower East Side. It soon became an integral to the Lower East Side Jewish community and then a destination for both locals and tourists looking for authentic bagels, fish, babka, so much more. As the city and the Lower East Side have changed around it, the store has evolved and expanded. Now a fourth-generation business under the current owners, Russ and Daughters has opened a cafe on the Lower East Side, a location at the Jewish Museum, and another location in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Joining us live in a moment will be co-owner Nikki Russ Fetterman, who's been working mighty hard to keep the business alive in these times. To get a fuller sense of this fine establishment, last year there was an exhibit organized by the American Jewish Historical Society at the Center for Jewish History, featuring archival photos and letters and even audio of the store's owners back to the second generation, including this bit of history about the store's now essential ticket system and how it came about. This is from second generation owner Mark Russ.
So at some point, two little old Jewish ladies are claiming my next, and the customers are squaring off behind these ladies and supporting their favorite little old lady of who's next, and business stops. And I know I've got a ton of fish I have to sell, and nothing is happening while the Gaza Strip is being drawn inside Russell Doors. So at this point, I have this brilliant notion of getting an empty pickle container. And I go in the back and I have index cards and I write, it's 100 index cards, I write in magic marker, 1 to 100, I stick it in the pickle container, I go out and I say, everybody, take a number, this is your number. And from then on, there became a number system. When it became busy, we were still using the empty pickle container and the index cards, and at some point thereafter, I actually went out and bought a number machine.
When the exhibit opened, I talked with Russ and Daughters co-owners Nikki Russ Fetterman and Josh Russ Tupper, as well as Annie Polland, Executive Director of the American Jewish Historical Society. And here's a piece of culinary trivia. Russ and Daughters is an appetizing store, and that means something very specific. Here's Nikki.
So appetizing is one of New York's most original food traditions. And the simplest way to think about it is bagels and lox. That's appetizing. It's the appetizing is a sister food tradition to delicatessen, and both come up through the kosher laws, which require that meat and dairy be sold and eaten separately. So a delicatessen, strictly speaking, is where you would go to buy, you know, think about pastrami, for your meat products, and the appetizing store is for fish and dairy. So smoked fish, herring, cream cheeses, and the word kind of fell into sort of into the unknown. It was lost as opposed to delicatessen, which now we use deli for just about any kind of store. It's become a catch-all. But I love that this exhibition is really reinforcing that the type of food that Russ and Daughters serves and this tradition has a name, and it's educating people to really know what that is.
When you think about telling the story of Russ and Daughters, Josh, what do you think is the story?
The story is an immigrant family business. It's a lot of people's story. Our great-grandfather came over from Eastern Europe with a lot of other people and eventually started a business. And the big story for Russ and Daughters at this point is we're still here and we're still thriving after four generations, and a lot of these businesses are not and have not survived time.
Nikki, why do you think it survived?
I think in every generation there's luckily been, you know, at least one person who either by their own free will or requirement stepped up to keep it going. And that we stayed in place. You know, here in New York, there's very little stays the same, and businesses come and go, buildings go up and down. The fact that we have stayed rooted in our original location on the Lower East Side for all this time gives people an anchor, both geographically through the store, coming in, it smells the same way, the showcases look the same. There's a very grounding feeling to having someplace that you can trace back your memories to. Our food, it's interesting because it's evolved from being a historically Jewish food for Jewish customers to now just being New York. It's a New York institution, and Bagels and Lox belongs to everyone now.
But it's interesting you talked about the being the root in tradition, and I ask a lot of places that have deep legacies, places like this, places like PBS, places like New York Public Library, how do you hold on to what made you what you are, but at the same time stay modern and expand? I mean, you guys are over in the Navy Yard now. When you had those conversations about preserving the history but moving forward, what were some of the topics of conversation between you guys?
I mean, every single decision we made in each of these steps was conversations, as you said, and not always, we didn't always agree on what we were talking about. But, you know, by design, decisions were, how can we be in the present but stay connected to the past? And menu decisions for the restaurant were the same. Like, we want to celebrate traditional Jewish foods, but we also want to have salad, which is not a traditional Jewish food necessarily. So every single step of the way,
you made the consideration. It sounds like every detail.
Lots of conversations and considerations and deliberations. Yeah.
But it also happened very organically, just seeing the need. We opened Russ and Daughters Cafe because so many people were coming to the original store and literally walking through our tiny shop into our kitchen because they assumed that that's where the tables were to sit down. And so we felt like, well, I guess we have to figure out how to become restaurateurs. And same thing with our bakery. We saw the demise of the real New York bagel, Bialy's, these traditional Jewish fruit breads. And we felt compelled to become bakers and be able to make all of them ourselves. So it's every step of the way is sort of thinking about, how do we keep Russ and Daughters going for another four generations?
So when I hear Russ and Daughters, we know Russ was your great-grandfather, Joel Russ. But I focus on the daughters being Anne, Hattie, and Ida. Do you think Joel was a feminist?
Yes. I would like to think so, but I doubt he even knew that word. You know, something that was really interesting and that we discovered in doing this project with Annie for the exhibition was putting even more context to his decision to change the name to Russ and Daughters. He opened his shop in 1914. In 1935, he not only renamed it to Russ and Daughters, but he made his three daughters his partners. This was unheard of. It was the first of its kind, and it was very controversial. So even if he wasn't a feminist, he knew that he was going against norms. People thought, apparently would stop him in the street and say, "Mr. Russ, why are you ruining your good business with that name?" Hmm. Annie not only confirmed through historic research that this is the first business that's Anne Daughters here in New York, but that his sister, Hannah Eben, who had sponsored him to come over, that he felt she set him up here. She got him started with his first barrel of herring to sell on the street. And now I'd like to think that maybe he knew that he had sort of a, he owed his good fortune to her. And maybe that had something to do with his decision to give the name Anne Daughters. It's amazing to think that even in 2019, seeing Anne Daughters is still very rare.
And that was such an important part of the exhibit, I think, because we're able to make the broader point that immigrant women and their daughters were essential to the economy. They weren't just sitting in a living room knitting or crocheting. They were out earning money, or they were helping to run businesses. And so throughout the exhibit, we tried to take these moments and make a broader point about what was going on in the neighborhood and during
that was actually the thing I did learn from this exhibit. Mm-hmm. Someone asked me, what did you learn? And I was like, I don't really know. when you found out that Hannah Eben, Joel Russ's sister, was basically running the business that had her husband's name on it because he went and became religious and was not doing that anymore.
Exactly. In the census, when you look at the census, it says she's just at home, meaning she's a housewife. And it's under her husband's name, it says he runs the herring stand. But we know from the oral history that it was a very different situation.
Before I let you go, what is one thing in the exhibit that you want people to pay attention to? Like some little detail that maybe you pick something up on that the average person might not quite understand, that extra layer they're looking at. What do you think, Annie?
Oh, I love every detail. But I think more broadly, there was a study, a formal study done in 2013 by the Pew Foundation, and they found that American Jews were surveyed and they had to say what was important to their identity. And 14% said Jewish food is essential to their identity. It was like the most essential thing. And I think that's good. But I also think unless you know the story with the food, it's not as important. So the whole kind of idea behind this exhibit in part is to say, eat the food, but know the story, because that's the heart of it.
There's an old black and white photograph from, I think, 1929 of it's a street scene. It shows East Houston Street. And the archive was able to zoom in on the storefront. And it shows one of the original names was J. Russ National Appetizing. This before he changed it to Russ and Daughters. And I always loved that because I feel like our great-grandfather was anything but national. He was just a herring, you know, shopkeeper serving the Lower East Side Jewish, you know, immigrants. And in a way, I feel like maybe we fulfilled his national aspirations because now I think Russ and Daughters has built up and, you know, recognition around the country, and we ship around the country. So we've, you know, even though we're still on the Lower East Side, but now we have sort of a reach that's national. And I love that image of that picture.
That was my conversation from last October with Russ and Daughters co-owners Nikki Russ Fetterman and Josh Russ Tupper. We were joined by Annie Poland, executive director of the American Jewish Historical Society at the Center for Jewish History, which hosted an exhibit about the history of the store last year.